today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, it's time for another episode of Code Pen Radio. This is episode number 144, so we're really starting to get up there.
Yeah, we are.
And this week we're going to be talking about adding Braintree to our payment processing on CodePen. I'm Marie Mosley, and I have with me today one of our founders, Alex Vasquez.
Hey there.
And it is just me and Alex today, because the other two founders, Chris Coyer and Tim Sabbat, are moving in together today. They're
taking it up a notch.
Yeah, they are. They've made it official out in Bend, and they have moved into the same office as of today. So they are unpacking boxes or whatever right now. So they are not joining us while we talk about this fundamental thing in CodePen, which is fundamental to any software as a service business, which is taking payments. About as important as it gets when you want to get paid. So,
and we sure do. Yeah, I mean, CodePen has. We started taking payments because we wanted to be supported by our community about 4 months into the product development. So we've had payments integrated, specifically Stripe payments integrated into CodePen for a very, very long time.
Right. And so what we've done recently, though, after a brief spell of being without PayPal, is bring it back by integrating Braintree. So Alex was the lead engineer on that, along with Tim Holman, who is traveling today, so we weren't able to have him on. But I think that you can probably give us the best perspective on everything that went into this, because I know a lot of your time and tears went into this one.
They sure did. Yeah, it's interesting because we had PayPal integrated in a very light way where you could pay for CodePen with PayPal, and it wasn't fully integrated into our payment system. It was kind of anyone who's ever had to work with PayPal knows that there's about 3 to 4 different ways to integrate with PayPal. And we chose the simplest one, which is kind of this PayPal button. And it would, I believe it'd like send us an email and we'd maybe authorize your account automatically or something like that. But it was a very light integration. There was no webhooks. There was no API that we were integrating with. And so what we did a while back was we ripped that thing out and we stuck with just Stripe and we rewrote the entire payment system. And that allowed us to start accepting two different kinds of, well, for our purposes, it allowed us to start accepting two different kinds of payment systems, but we rewrote it in a way that would allow us to accept more payment systems in the future. So we took that on, and I think that took us around 9 months. We kind of started that project, put it on pause, and then restarted it. So I'd say it's about 9 months, right, Marie?
That sounds about right. And we actually talked a bit about that in a previous episode. I think like 120 or 121. I'll check for the show notes, but about refactoring. And that was Jake and Dee talking to Chris about all the stuff that went into that refactor, where we completely redid the whole system. And yeah, 9 months sounds about right. I know that everybody was really putting their all in for quite some time on that one.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to be part of that team with Jake and Dee of refactoring the system. But in the end, we got it out, and one of the issues we had all along was we wanted to be able to support more payment systems. And I think it's an interesting reason why when we ripped out PayPal, and I mean, the entire reason we added PayPal is because requests from users, Marie. Why would you say that people request that we add PayPal? Because I think that's an interesting story in and of itself.
There's a couple different reasons. I think that for some people, they just trust PayPal. That's how they trust paying online. And, I think that was one of the leading reasons why people are asking for it. But another reason, which was interesting and something that was kind of new to me, was finding out that credit cards as we know them in the United States are not really all that common internationally. Like, not everyone uses credit the way we do. And PayPal is a better option in those cases. They just, you know, they either don't have what we would think of as a credit card, or the credit card system is different, and PayPal kind of smooths out the edges of that and makes it possible for them to pay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know that I have a PayPal account, and it allows me to choose if I want to draw money from a credit card or if I want to draw money from a checking account. And so I think for countries like that, you have people who want to pay for services like CodePen. And at the time, we only accepted credit cards. And that's why we ended up choosing to add PayPal to begin with, just because it was a much, it was something that's often requested. And as a business that supports itself based solely on the community, we like to help anyone who's looking to pay for our services. So it was it was just by user request, which is an awesome thing to get, you know, but it was integrating it was a little tougher than we expected.
It did seem like it.
Yeah.
So we have had Stripe in place, like you said, like from day one. And so our payment system is kind of, you'd almost call it Stripe based, really. You know, I mean, that's how things are built in CodePen for payments. So adding Braintree, are they integrated with each other, or are they running as two separate components, or how do we have those things working together?
Yeah, so essentially what we did is we kind of had to go back to the drawing board as far as the data that we store. So we rewrote that so that it would be kind of payment provider. We call them a payment provider. It'd be payment provider agnostic. And so part of storing the data that we get from the payment providers is also storing who they are. So whether it's Braintree or PayPal, and I'm sorry, whether it's Braintree or Stripe. And when I say Braintree, I actually mean PayPal, mm-hmm. because we integrated with Braintree, but the only portion of Braintree that we use is simply to take PayPal payments, not to take any credit card payments. So we had to rewrite kind of the internal database so that when we recorded a transaction or a subscription, we were able to record where that came from. And that was kind of the big change in the data, was that we wanted to do that, and we wanted to port all the old data into the new system so that they were all based off of the same data set, essentially. And so we did that, where we rewrote it so that we could take payments from many different payment providers. But in doing that, we initially released the new version of internal payments only with Stripe enabled. So at that point, it's like what you were saying, we didn't have PayPal at all. And the moment we took away PayPal, people started requesting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a couple months gap there. And, you know, people really do, when they prefer PayPal, they really prefer it. And I understand that, because a lot of the time, you know, obviously I trust CodePen because I'm part of CodePen, but I can understand, you know, when you approach a company that you're maybe not particularly familiar with and you want to pay, thinking, okay, yeah, well, I can pay with PayPal. You know that if it doesn't go well, PayPal will help you out generally. Your subscription is really inside your own control, because you can go into your PayPal settings and cancel the subscription. It's super easy to do. So I think, you know, people were just, you know, that's just how they prefer to pay. And it was really nice once we added it back on to be able to reach out to people and say, hey, we turned PayPal back on. They were super psyched, because that's, you know, they wanted to go pro, but that was the hurdle for them. They either had to or really, really wanted to pay with PayPal.
Yeah. And I would say, as a user, as someone who pays for online services, another thing I know that I've done is sometimes I don't have my credit card number handy, but I know my username and password for PayPal.
Totally.
So it actually is this, like, it's a very tiny barrier to entry, but when with payments, everything makes a difference. So as a user paying for services, you might be like, well, my credit card's in the other room and I have my username and password. I can just type that in, and it makes it really simple. And just the difference between saying, oh, the credit card's in the other room, you may not even sign up for the service, because it's just a hassle at that point.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, just any kind of friction that we put in place can lose the sale entirely.
Yeah. And then another perspective that we have on PayPal, and this is something that we should verify now that we're taking PayPal payments again to be true, is We believe, our theory is that PayPal users will churn out less because inside of PayPal, you have multiple forms of payment. Like I said, you can attach a checking account and a credit card account. And usually when you use PayPal, it's like you're paying for several different things. And that PayPal account for you will never, ever change. Whereas with credit cards will expire. You will cancel that credit card and use another credit card. But a user doesn't normally close out their PayPal account and start a whole new one as frequently as you do with credit cards. So we think that PayPal users are likely to churn less, which is a big deal for us.
Yeah, actually, we saw this was almost 2 years back now. But remember when the Target breach happened and all kinds of people got their credit cards reissued?
Right. Yeah.
We saw, you know, that affected. I have to wonder how much that affected subscription businesses all over the place, because we saw a noticeable number of people that were churning out because of declined cards, very different from previous months. And it was all right around the time everyone would have been getting their cards canceled and reissued from that Target breach. So, having PayPal instead gives them the flexibility to, you know, the payment just goes to another form when it doesn't work in the first, you know, on the first card. So, yeah, it has seemed to be that, you know, when people were using annual plans only through PayPal, which was the previous option, the churn there was significantly less than credit cards. So it'll be interesting to see now that we have monthly members too. That's another thing we should bring up, actually. Adding Braintree let us do monthly. We used to only do annual.
Right. Yeah, that was a big difference. We used to only accept an annual payment for PayPal, and now we accept monthly and annual. So the change has been big in that it's a fully integrated payment provider instead of CodePen, whereas before it was kind of something that was like tacked on, and we didn't really have a good way to change pricing the way we did. We didn't have a good way to handle cancellations and things like that the way we normally do. So now PayPal, aka Braintree, flows in the same way that Stripe flows through our system, which is, you know, we get to use their API. We have webhooks that give us callbacks when an account is canceled or upgraded or things like that. So that was the major change on our end, was that we were just able to almost treat it as if it were the same payment system, because we're probably going to be Stripe-based for as long as I'm around. Mm-hmm. And not because we wouldn't want to change, just because we're just so happy with the system. Everything works from a developer's perspective. It's very easy to debug. The sandboxes are great and things like that. Whereas we found a lot, I feel like I found a lot more quirks in trying to integrate Braintree versus trying to integrate Stripe, which is something that we had to do.
So you mentioned that Braintree has other payment options available. Could people do credit cards through Braintree? Or, you know, we added it for PayPal, but it's got more to it, right?
Yeah, definitely. So Braintree is just, it offers all the same things that Stripe does as far as being able to accept credit cards and things like that. They even do ACH and Venmo, Apple Pay, Android Pay, all kinds of different ways to check out. But we've chosen to keep as much data on the Stripe side as possible because we prefer that system for our end. And as far as the user's concerned, they don't really see a difference. If somehow it was more convenient for our users to pay through Braintree with a credit card, we would probably just use that, but there it's the same exact experience on the user's end. So we've chosen to only integrate the PayPal, which is the thing that Stripe can't integrate with. Now that PayPal purchased Braintree, it's kind of like a tighter integration. So that's the only reason that we chose to add that second payment provider.
Right, because we really wanted to get back into PayPal. So is Braintree the one that takes Bitcoin? I know we keep joking about Bitcoin. Which one is it? Or is it Stripe that takes it? I can't remember
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I definitely know Stripe takes Bitcoin. Okay. I'm looking at the 4-year customers on the Braintree app, but they don't do Bitcoin.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't actually looked into how we could do that, but I know that as far as CodePen is concerned, it's not like we'd be getting Bitcoin. I think that they would enable it through an exchange where they would take Bitcoin, transfer it into US dollars, and then transfer the US dollars to us.
Mm-hmm.
Although it would have been very apt if we had just taken Bitcoin from the beginning and accepted them, now that we see where the price is at.
Yeah, you know.
But, you know, you can't win them all, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose not.
Yeah.
So another thing that we had talked about not long after the Braintree integration was, I think it was while it was like in its final week, Dee found an article from a startup called DKit, which she has no relation to, where they had made the decision to switch the other direction. They went from Braintree to Stripe, and they intentionally dropped PayPal in the process. And I was, you know, it's interesting to me to compare, you know, our, you know, plans to allow, you know, for PayPal and also keep Stripe going and just, you know, the thought process that takes people into the other direction is very interesting to me. I'll link that one up in the show notes because they kind of took the exact opposite path from us, but I feel like they're equally happy. So it is interesting to me all the different ways that we as startups approach payment.
Yeah, that's really an interesting choice because I've been around a few, I would say two other major payment systems, and I've taken certain things that I just considered like a truism that it just works everywhere, which is that if you enabled another payment provider, it just makes life easier for your users to pay for your service, and that's always a good thing. So I'm really surprised to see anyone that chooses to take away a payment provider. It's not like you want to see like a wall of payment providers, but there are some. For example, if you're in Ireland, maybe there's an Ireland-specific type of payment that you prefer that's more familiar to you. Mm-hmm. And if you offer that to your users in Ireland through whatever system that you identify that they're there, you really, from what I've seen in my experience, you tend to make it a lot more likely that they'll pay for your product, right? I was shocked to hear that there was a company that decided to go the other route. Versus trying to work with both. Because every payment system that I've ever seen has just simply said, it super sucks for the developer, but in the end, we're trying to make the user's life easier and we're trying to make sure that they can support our company. So we're going to just continue adding payment providers as long as it makes it easier for users to pay for your service. But I mean, as a developer, I can totally understand wanting to not do that because it would make your life much simpler. You know, you deal with one model, one concept, one set of concepts. A big hang-up that I had in moving us to integrate with Braintree and PayPal was I didn't really know how to charge for Teams. Mm-hmm. And I kept looking for how to charge for multiple subscriptions. Which is a Stripe concept. Stripe allows you to say, okay, this is a subscription. What quantity do you want to charge of the subscription? That's how we end up charging for our team sales. Whereas Braintree had this different concept that they call an add-on, and you can charge a multiple of an add-on to a subscription. You can't do a multiple of an actual subscription. So having to deal with those quirks and the different concepts was a little tough. Like finding that difference and finding out how to charge for that team took me about a week because mm-hmm. I just kept banging my head against the same thing and kept getting different little errors and things like that. So I drop it, move on to something else. But I can understand from the developer's perspective that they'd kind of hate having to do that. But it, if in the end it means that your company has like a 10% bump in sales, it ends up always being worth it.
Yeah. you can dry some developer tears with those dollar bills.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, one of the beauties of payment systems is that once they are integrated into your system, it doesn't require a lot of upkeep. You know, it's not like the Stripe API is going to change in this dramatic way that's going to be pulled out from under you. They understand that changing their API or messing it up in any way and not being backwards compatible means loss of revenue for them and their customers.
Right.
And Braintree is the same way. You know, it's going to take 10 years before they do anything that would possibly break your service. And so it seems to me, from my perspective, the upfront investment and frustration is worth it. I haven't read the DKIT article, but I'd be really curious to know why they chose to do that.
I think, well, it did seem like a large part of it was because, you know, the developers did prefer the Stripe situation. And I get it based on what I've heard from the teams who worked on the Stripe upgrades and also the Braintree team. I get it. I think I get it. One really nice thing from my end, because I do the bulk of the support, is that having PayPal. I was concerned when we were talking about Braintree that I was going to need to handle the PayPal payments through a whole new system. And it's just like, I'm super familiar with how PayPal works. But what's super nice is that we are still, you know, from a customer perspective, working through the PayPal interface. Like I can handle adjustments to people's subscriptions all through the regular PayPal, which is very nice for me. I didn't have to learn a new thing. So right, it worked out nicely for me in the end.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of one of the magic parts of PayPal is that it's just incredibly familiar. Mm-hmm. For CodePen, it's a secondary option. We still primarily kind of expose you to paying via a credit card. But people still choose it. People are just so familiar with that interface, with the UI, and trust it that even though it's a secondary option, we see a lot of sales going through PayPal, which is really great because for someone who is incredibly frustrated with the integration, it's nice to see that it's actually worthwhile. So especially going forward, I'd be curious to see the difference in how many people are signing up through PayPal versus how many people are signing up through our regular credit card system. That's kind of the default. So
yeah, it's been interesting just seeing the numbers coming in these, you know, first few weeks after this happened, because this is a relatively new change. And it's been exciting to, like I said earlier, be able to tell people, hey, it's back. You know, people were waiting for it. So it's nice to know that. It's also nice to know that they were excited months later when we finally told them, hey, it's here. You know,
yeah, it's
nice to know that people were excited to join after that. So it's gone very smoothly, and I think we've all been happy with it.
Yeah, I would say from a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like a 6 as far as my happiness from the developer's perspective, because the tooling for the debugging isn't as nice as it is with Stripe. I don't have that sandbox where I get to see all the data and manipulate it all and can recreate all of the production type behavior in kind of a safe space as well as I can with Stripe. There's kind of this webhook bug that I've been dealing with now, and it's a lot more frustrating to have to resolve that. But I believe that once I do get to resolve that, I will be able to just kind of put it down and just let our payment system be. So overall, I mean, as far as people accepting it and being happy with it, I'm like a 9 out of 10 happy. But from the developer's perspective, it's just a lot more frustrating. So
yeah.
In the end, it's still worth it. I would still completely do it. But it's just going to take you a little bit longer than it would with PayPal, with Stripe, I believe.
Right on. Well, I think that is our show for today. We will be back next week with more behind-the-scenes stuff from CodePen. Thanks for listening, everyone.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1 3 2 9 7 1 3 2 9 7 6 0 3 1 8